Blog Talk Radio.
Because Moses told us about how God had originally placed the tree of life in the garden in the beginning when he created a man and his wife, and he commanded them not to eat from the other tree, which of course they got deceived and ate from and brought all this death and chaos in that we live in. But, you know, the tree of life, the concept of, you know, that being the scrolls that you grab hold of. And so maybe us with our books, the way we have them bound in the back and we flip through them the way we do, maybe we've kind of lost, you know, this idea of the Word of God being living and able to bring us into the throne of God.
But there's something about being able to turn the pages, to be able to, you know, to look at it and grab onto it ourselves. And I have to think about every single time that I, there's nothing wrong with technology as long as it doesn't become a crutch. I just can't help but think about how many times I've gone into a grocery store and at the, you know, they've given me a total and automatically hit amount tendered, you know, figuring what I'm going to give them. And I said, no, I have the change, and they can't make, you know, the person on the other side of the counter can't make change.
Oh, wow.
I actually had somebody step away from a counter at it was a Walgreens or a CVS Drugs, step away from the register, walk about 6 to 8 feet away, reach into their personal belongings to pick out their phone so that they could access the calculator so they could figure out how much change to give me back. And I'm just thinking about the Word of God here, how, yes, I could, you know, automatically do a search here on the phone for a word or something and find it real quickly. But there's just something about being able to underline or make a note. And I can remember in my mind, right, you know, it's that scripture's on the right side about halfway down. And I mean, there's just something about that. You know, I praise God for his word. And I praise God that he gave us the gift of the written word, and I know that he wants us to have his word written in our hearts. And as we study, that's my prayer, that word, his word, is written in my heart and in all of our hearts, just in case one day we don't have the written word in front of us. And I know that he's true to his word when he says that he would make us instant in the season and out of season, and he would give us remembrance of his word.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He does. And that makes me think of another scripture, because Jesus said, you know, when you go out, he told us through his disciples when he first told them, you're going to go before kings and before governors and before people, and you're going to be persecuted. Some will even be killed. And you're going to have to speak about Jesus, speak about the gospel. And he told people, don't premeditate what you're going to say, because it'll be given you in that hour.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's really exciting. And it happens when we go out on the street and talk to people. Or we notice, like, we'll gather sometimes and we'll go eat breakfast, a few of us, and we haven't talked to the pastor. We don't know what he's going to open the word and talk about. And so many times we find that the topic that he's talking about in the Bible study is along the same lines of what we've just talked about in the restaurant. And we realize that that's the Holy Spirit already leading us into the topic that he's going to be teaching us before we even sit down in the Bible study and get it formally in the Bible study. He's already speaking. He's already talking.
Hallelujah.
Another thing that Jesus said in the scriptures, because many times when he told his parables, he would give that challenge. Let him who has ears hear mm-hmm. what the Spirit is saying. And I used to think, well, he's just talking to his disciples about, okay, be spiritual and understand what I'm telling you in this parable. But I think he's saying something much deeper than that. And while we're talking, that's what we do on radio, but while we're talking, before we read that scripture, we also want to celebrate, because we had salvations today.
Yeah. Praise God.
At least two or three. I think two at the mall and one at the hospital. The reason we're at the hospital is because there were also, during the week, a couple salvations while a few of us were out doing laundry. And someone related to the young women that both prayed and received the Lord at the laundromat also had a relative in the hospital. And some of the women from the body went out to pray for her and just visit. And so another young man who was there present also prayed today and received the Lord.
Praise God.
So God's still saving people.
Hallelujah.
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 All right, Matthew
12,
starting with verse 25.
Okay. And it reads, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I be by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?"
Wow. So the reason I thought of those particular scriptures is when Pastor began to speak this morning, we went to a few verses in the both the Old Testament and New Testament. We started with Leviticus 19:2, and also 1 Peter 15 and 16. And Pastor introduced a word that wasn't the first time we've been introduced to this word, but it's something that he's starting to expound on more and more to help people understand the Hebraic concept of halakha. And this halakha is a Hebrew phrase, and basically, in a nutshell, for those who are tuning on Blog Talk Radio, which we have just a few more minutes with, and maybe people even on the website that are new to listening, halakha is how one walks it out, and specifically the teachings of the scriptures, because in the Old Testament there, they had the Ten Commandments, and they had the full 613 precepts, and that was the thing, is that through study and commentary, there was a need, because if there was a willingness to obey, then there was a need to be taught the specifics of how one would walk it out. And halakha is basically a ruling of how it's to be walked out. And so the idea is that there's an expositing of the scriptures and of the commands and the precepts of just what it means. How do you walk it out? Like it says in the scriptures, keep the Sabbath. And so people are going to ask a question. How do I keep the Sabbath? What do I do? And what do I not do? And so there's a need to be taught in specifics what it is and how we walk that out. And so that's just one example. But in the course of speaking about that, he's talking about where we are 2,000 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and they took the gospel out, and they turned the whole world upside down, revealing the kingdom. And it was built upon the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah in Matthew 16:18. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my witnessing body, my kahal adah, my witnessing body, my church, upon this rock. and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so everybody knew how Jesus had gone into the wilderness after being baptized in the Jordan, how he was led by the Holy Spirit to fast for 40 days without food or water, and how he was tempted by Satan, and he defeated the devil. And everybody knew that he defeated the devil. And it was something that wasn't done in a corner, it wasn't done in secret, and it couldn't be hidden. And it helped people in their faith and their walk to know that they had been made free. And Pastor asked this question this morning, because here 2,000 years later, he asked the question, or he made the statement, we haven't convinced the devil that he's defeated. And I think, you know, that's what made me think of those other scriptures that we just read, you know, because he's the Son of Man. He's the living Word of God. And he did the things that he did because of who he is. And because of who he is, just like the voice said in Matthew chapter 3 when he was baptized, the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so we have a witness from heaven, from the Father, the voice from heaven. Because a lot of times people kind of strive with the idea of what are we here for and what are we to do and what is God pleased with. And so there's a voice from heaven, a witness from heaven of what God's pleased with. He's pleased with the walk of his Son, Jesus Christ. And there was a confirmation of it. And then a demonstration of the power of that, what it looks like. Because that's the first thing Satan goes to start challenging Jesus on. Oh, well, if you are the Son of God, then you should be able to, you know, make these stones into bread. But Jesus, he doesn't live by it. He gave us that witness. He doesn't live by his own will. And John chapter 5, he tells us in John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 30, I don't do my own will. I do what I see my Father in heaven doing. And so he was here for a mission. He was here for a purpose. He was here because he loved the Father. And the Father loved all of his creation. And he wanted to demonstrate that love by bringing his Son into the world to come and to live righteously and to be righteous and to be a righteous sacrifice for our sin, because he loved us. And so there's a lot of power that by following and living out the scriptures in his walk, he brought a power against the power of the revelation of the truth, how he walked, how he stayed out of his own will and didn't bring himself into an area of vulnerability where that would give Satan any power. So there was a great defeat of the devil. But then in our time, that question is there, or that statement is there. We could ask it as a question, why haven't we convinced the devil that he's defeated?
We aren't convinced in ourselves the work is done for us or so. We're too compromised with the world to even think about it.
But the scriptures tell us that we are complete.
Unfortunately, people are not even taught the scriptures.
Right. What do you think, Robert?
So it's, and even those that are taught the scripture, it's one thing for it to be head knowledge and the other thing for it to be heart and spirit knowledge and actually walking out our faith. Because there's many people who intellectually know what the scriptures say, but that doesn't mean that they walk in the scripture. They don't walk in the power of the scripture. So, you know, Jesus gave us the example of how, and how he defeated Satan was by the word. And that's
when tough times come to us, the word isn't the first thing that we necessarily go to and go running to, and that's where we need to go first.
Yes. We need the word. We need the truth. Jesus said it like this: if you continue in my word, to his disciples, he says in John chapter 8, actually he's talking to Jews, it says, who were believers in him, Pharisees that were believers in him. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because people didn't realize that even then that they were in bondage to the devil, perhaps, as much as they really were. And he's telling them, no, you're of your father, the devil, because it's his works that you're doing.
And the interesting thing also is to know that, you know, Jesus had to be frustrated at times, because even those that were closest to him weren't responding.